Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan. She is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
The Islamic State is celebrating a major victory in the latest in the U.S.-led war in northern Iraq. ISIS militants blew up an Iraqi army headquarters in Ramadi, killing 40 Iraqi soldiers. A U.S. military spokesperson claimed that Iraqi forces have successfully repelled ISIS from the area. The Ramadi fight comes at the same time as Iraqi forces, Shia militias, and Iranian troops are fighting a major battle to retake the city of Tikrit. Meanwhile, in a disturbing new development, ISIS says it has accepted a pledge of allegiance from the Nigerian group Boko Haram. Recently, Boko Haram's propaganda efforts have been seen to bear ISIS's hallmarks. Boko Haram has taken responsibility for killing thousands of people in the past few years in Nigeria alone and has recently lost military ground to an international coalition. Christina, do you see signs that both ISIS and Boko Haram might be losing their wars?
Well, I do think that there's definitely some consensus among international voices, especially in Iraq and on the African continent, that ISIS and Boko Haram are losing ground. But, and you know, I think this is there's an important lesson here that we need to take away is that what we're seeing is that these regional and international coalitions are way more effective than, for instance, Western-led or U.S.-led coalitions against these against ISIS and Boko Haram. So I think that's an important lesson that we can take away from that. And so hopefully what we can learn is that there are people fighting for their own survival, and the U.S. and Western Europe are not always necessarily need to be involved.
Here in the United States, despite the public outrage over the National Security Agency's mass surveillance program, the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday passed the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. The act has long been pursued by the NSA, and it would make it easier for private companies to share consumer information with the government. The lone dissenting voice in the committee was from Senator Ron Wyden, who worried that it was a, quote, surveillance bill by another name. The bill has gained momentum in the wake of the Sony hacking scandal last year, but still faces major opposition in the House and Senate at large. Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chair Dianne Feinstein defended the bill, saying it would, quote, only be used for counterterrorism purposes and at certain immediate crimes. So, Christina, do you see the senators' votes as hypocritical, given that last year when they were up in arms, when they discovered that the CIA had spied on this committee, especially Senator Feinstein, who's vigorously defended the NSA at every turn?
Yeah, of course, definitely it's hypocritical. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that they would care more about their own surveillance than the surveillance of the public. But I think, you know, it's interesting that we see that Washington doesn't learn from its own mistakes and from its history. And so I think it's really important to understand. I'm reminded, for instance, of Naomi Klein's argument about the corporatist structure that we live in. And right now we're seeing surveillance at the center of that relationship between the private between private companies and the government. And I think, you know, it's definitely interesting how there's the surveillance state that we live in. We need to see that we're all in that surveillance state, right? And so when it's such a pervasive institution that no one can escape that institution.
And of course, in this particular case, we're talking about private data as well, consumer data that private companies collect. The U.S. Department of Energy has just released a report entitled Wind Vision, a new era of wind power in the United States, which paints an optimistic picture of the renewable energy source. Together with solar, wind power generated electricity grew a lot faster in 2014 compared to fossil fuel-based electricity. The data paves the way for fulfilling a key goal of the Obama administration to source 35% of the U.S.'s electricity needs by the year 2050. The report attributes the growing success of wind power to two main policies: technology cost reductions and federal and state policy support. The report also touted the win-win benefits of wind, curbing climate change and providing green jobs. Christina, are you heartened by this report, and will it be enough to silence the naysayers?
I'm definitely heartened by the report. It's nice to see when President Obama is doing good things. But I have to say, I'm less optimistic about anything silencing naysayers, as we have seen in the past. climate change deniers are going to deny it. And it seems like it, you know, it seems at first on surface level irrational and illogical arguments that naysayers will make and people who deny climate change and global warming. But actually, I think there are economic interests at stake here, right? And so when you're talking about politicians who are in the hands of big oil, a conversation about energy and a conversation that's about alternative energy sources, big oil is going to definitely see their economic interests at stake. And again, the relationship between the private industry and Washington is huge. And so a lot of times I think that some of this denial really comes from rational arguments that really is about economic interest.
I want to thank you very much, Christina, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.